Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you so much for stopping on by. It's our big last grand final segment before we say adios and get you out to Warriors Live tonight. We got JD and Covey coming up at 4:30. Warriors and Thunder coming up tonight at 6 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. Monty Poole, one of our favorites, NBC Sports, good enough to join us here to talk about, obviously, Curry's coronation as the Warriors' scoring king and where the rest of the season goes. James Wiseman's surgery, I know that he was on a really interesting Zoom call where Draymond Green was talking about how Steph should be honored for passing Wilt Chamberlain, and it's always great to have Monty on. Thank you for your time, as always, Monty. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing really, really well, thank you. When you sit down to write, you know, the final Steph Curry column of your career, and you start ranking his career accomplishments, how close to number one will you put passing Wilt Chamberlain on his list of things he did wearing this uniform?
Sad as it may sound, or maybe happy as it may sound, it's going to be down a ways. I mean, the guy has been so incredible for so long. I mean, to me, with Steph, you know, yeah, the franchise scoring record is massive, and that's, you know, it's great to have that. It's a nice honor and a nice achievement. But when you look at Steph's career in total, I mean, he was a basketball revolutionary. And to me, that best defines what he has done to the NBA. When Mark Jackson said a while back that he's ruining the game, you know, I don't think Mark meant that in a pejorative way. I think Mark was saying is that it ain't the game it used to be because of Steph Curry and people wanting to be like him, and most, and who can besides him? So, yeah, I think for Steph, his career is mostly about what he's been able to do to change the way the game is played at every level, college, NBA, high school, AAU, wherever you go, Steph's influence is there.
It's probably, you know, an unfair question, but it seems to me, at least, like Wilt Chamberlain is always going to be the greatest Warrior because he's an extraordinary figure in the history of basketball. But the commonality between him and Curry that strikes most is that they both revolutionized the game.
Yeah.
You know, Chamberlain as a center who was also an athlete rather than just a galoot, and Curry because he made the court about 5 feet longer than it used to be.
No, that's right. And that's what they have in common. But I think, you know, the way they did it is so obviously very different. I mean, Wilt was not Wilt without being 7'1" and 270 pounds and a world-class athlete. I mean, I've heard people say that Wilt Chamberlain could have been a decathlete. So that tells you what kind of athlete he was. But the difference to me is that everybody can't be like Wilt, and nobody, and everybody knows they can't be like Wilt. But most people can look at Steph and go, you know, if I work hard enough and play hard enough and put in enough hours in the gym, maybe I could do that. You know, I'm 6'2", I weigh 170 pounds. People tell me that I'm not thin enough, not strong enough. Steph heard all those things, and he overcame all those things. So he gives people inspiration in a way that Wilt never could. So Yeah, Wilt is a basketball giant in every way. But, yeah, I think Steph's accomplishments are broader, and they've spread not just in basketball but throughout life. I mean, there aren't many people that say, well, he was the Wilt Chamberlain of this, but there will be people who say that he's the Steph Curry of that. And I think that speaks to his ability to transcend the game and like I said, change the game in a way that invites other people who might otherwise be outside the game to believe that they can possibly get into the game and be a difference maker. So shooting is cool, you know, and if you can learn to do that, you may get a job in the NBA or somewhere and because you can shoot.
Yeah, and part of this, too, is this misconception that it's all a learned skill, which, of course, it is a learned skill, but also Steph Curry is remarkably talented for this specific skill. Anyway, you led me right to what I wanted to ask about, which is his off-the-court effect, because it's not just the, you know, being a role model and all that stuff. I feel like part of this record is the longevity with the Warriors, and he has really had a huge effect on this organization and the way they operate, has he not?
Oh, no doubt about it. Honestly, and I say this all the time, and no disrespect to Joe Lacob and Peter Guber and Rick Mulch, all those guys, but I don't know that Chase Center gets built without Steph. Because who was the person most responsible for changing the perception of the franchise? Who was the person most responsible for getting Dub Nation, as we call it, as people call it now, Dub Nation to be a real thing? Who was the person who generated the momentum that was needed to sort of have the will to build a new arena in a city that hadn't built one in, what, 100 years or whatever it was? So Steph is the guy behind that. He's the engine. He is the insignia of this franchise. They know it. And if he doesn't play for the Warriors at any point, then I don't know that arena is where it is right now. I just don't know. No matter what Joe and Peter and Rick would have done, I don't know that without Steph, that building is there, because those championships that came and just the momentum that was generated by those great Warriors teams, at some point, the will of the people kind of got behind the idea of giving the Warriors kind of not what they wanted, but kind of what they wanted, or maybe something that they deserved. So, as a part of me said that they left open, yeah, but there's also the part of me that knows that when they came to the Bay Area, they didn't come to Oakland. So I get that. And, yeah, I think Steph's stature in the franchise, you know, he's got to be the first statue up. And there's no question about that.
Monty Poole here on 95.7 The Game. So given where they are now in their year, which gets even harder to see through with the James Wiseman injury, and I know Kelly Oubre is out tonight. We'll see how long that goes. And I don't know if that gets the Warriors closer to or further away from a playoff appearance because of the way that they play or the way that they are able to play differently when those players are down on the court. What do you think we're looking at here, Monty, in terms of the playoffs? Do you think it's going to happen, yes or no?
Well, the West is kind of a mess right now. I mean, they're in the 10th spot, which is obviously the last available spot that's on the table, and it's not what they wanted. You know, it's about 5 weeks ago where Steph said, best case scenario is the 4th spot. But that's not happening. And then the general consensus was that, well, you know, and Steve Kerr said, you know, we want to avoid the play-in tournament, which means getting at least to 6. Well, that's a long shot right now. So the question to me is, yeah, how well can they play and how well can they sustain it? I think they're going to be in the playoffs, but whether they're at 7, 8, 9, 10, or, you know, whether something crazy happens and they get to 6, it's hard to say. But if they play the way they did last night, and granted, they played a Nuggets team that was coming off a back-to-back, a home road back-to-back, and they took advantage of it. Second half, the Nuggets had nothing left, and the Warriors took advantage of that. So, to me, yeah, if they're going to make any kind of run, and the one they keep talking about, this is the time. You know, and the schedule kind of gives them a little bit of a break. They're playing teams that are either on the fringe or totally out of it for the most part. And if they can take advantage of that, the first thing they have to do is get back to 500. They can do that the next 2 days if they win today and tomorrow in Cleveland. And then the next step would be, okay, let's see where we can go in terms of moving out of the 10th spot and get into the 7, 8 spot, which is advantageous because, again, you know, if you're in the 7 or 8, you win one game, you move on. So it's going to be difficult. But to me, it's all about consistency, which is the one thing they haven't had all year. And if they suddenly find it over these last 4.5, 5 weeks, they're in there. And if they get in there and they're reasonably healthy, they could scare some teams as long as they defend at the highest level they can, which this season has been sporadic.
Since you brought up consistency, at this moment, do you believe the Warriors are a trustworthy team?
Trustworthy?
Yeah.
No, they got to earn that this year. This season, no, they haven't been that this season. There's nothing in their history of this season's Warriors team that says you should trust them. There have been games when you thought, okay, maybe this will get them somewhere. But, I mean, even the guys on the team are tired of talking about how, this is what we need to do. This is what we can do. We know we're going to do it. Steph is beyond all of that, you know. I mean, he's even said a couple times this season after games, you know, that they played well. Yeah, you know, we've got something now. You know what we can do. And then he'll say, but I might be saying the same thing in a couple of weeks. And he has been. So trust is not a word that I associate with this team because it has been so inconsistent. This is a chance that we can win 4 games in a row, the best chance. And they haven't done that all year. So if they can do that tonight and tomorrow, then maybe start thinking, okay, maybe they're finding something. But yeah, I think you need to see a pattern develop. And so far there's been no pattern. That's been the issue with this team. No pattern whatsoever other than zigzag, 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 up, down. So,
and obviously the continuing injury situations, Wiseman going down, Oubre out again tonight, makes it hard to find that pattern. But if you had to say, beyond Steph Curry being incredible, because we all know that has to happen for them to be any good, what is the single most important thing outside of Steph that you feel like has to be in place for this team to have success?
High-level defense, and that, you know, begins with Draymond. You know, Wiggins has had a pretty good defensive year. His offense has been up and down. He's had some great days and some nights when he's invisible. But his defense has been mostly there, at least his on-ball defense. His team defense, you know, he gets lost off the ball sometimes. But if he plays at the level he's played at most of the year, if Draymond brings the energy and the impact that he brought the other night, I think that's going to get them there. They can't outscore teams. They're not built for that. But if they stay close, and then lean on Steph when they need to and get stops in the fourth quarter, then, yeah, I think the Warriors will be in the playoffs. And if they get there, and, you know, if Oubre will be back sometime next week, I think. He could be back sooner, but I'm thinking next week. I'm not counting him out in for tonight, obviously, or tomorrow. If he gets back, he's an important player in terms of their team defense. And he can also, you know, make a difference on the glass. He's a good rebounding guard. So, and that's a team that needs rebounding, every rebound they can get. So, yeah, if they get healthy and get into the playoffs, then you look at matchups. And I think if they face the right team, I think they can beat some of those teams because mostly because Steph and Draymond have been there before. And some of the teams they might face early on have not. So we will see. If they get the 8th seed, obviously it's a 1-8, and it's a 1-and-done, you know. But because they're not going to beat Utah, not the way the Jazz is playing right now. And I know the Jazz have a checkered postseason history. Yeah, they're good, and in the postseason they fall apart. But this Jazz team seems a little bit different, and I just, you know, I don't see how they lose to a team that the Warriors have right now in a first-round matchup series if that's what they end up getting. So, yeah, I think it's defense. That's going to be the key.
Monty, we thank you as always for your time. How compelled will you be to pretend that you can recognize any of these Oklahoma City Thunder playing tonight? Lu Dort has been scratched, which means we're down to Teo Maledon, Darius Bazley, Isaiah Roby, and Moses Brown. Aren't you excited about that?
Yeah, I think Al Horford is still over there somewhere doing something. I'm not sure what he's doing because you're not really seeing him very often, but yeah, the Thunder are kind of a mystery team with a bunch of guys that you don't really know that well. You know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a terrific player. I think he's going to be an all-star. But you're right. You look at that roster and you go, who's that? And, or as Charles said, who he played for? Well, a lot of those guys on that team. And but they've got, you know what? They've got about 150 draft picks coming in the next 7 years.
They sure do. Yeah, if getting used to new Oklahoma City Thunder isn't your speed, this is the wrong franchise for you, because there's a lot of them coming real soon. Monty, thank you so much, man. Always a pleasure to take a little of your time and bend your ear.
All right, guys. Take care. It's been fun.